Okay, and talking about the two great witnesses, we talked about, basically today what we established is that it's not going to be two men who have lived that are coming back. It's not going to be Moses and Enoch, or Elijah and Enoch. It's not going to be Moses and Elijah. But it's going to be two men who have their anointings. We've seen how this anointing was passed down from Elijah to Elisha in double portion. We've seen that John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. How he wasn't physically Elijah, and how he told everyone, he didn't deny it at all, that he said he was not Elijah when he was asked. But Jesus said that he was Elijah. And this is because he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. He came with that anointing. We also observed about the order in which the two great witnesses have come in the past. That first came Moses and then Elijah for the law and the prophets. And then we've seen where John the Baptist and Paul the Apostle reversed the order because Jesus came to fix the Spirit. We've seen how the law and the prophets first came in the order of creation. First the physical and then the spiritual. Now that's the order of creation. So there was first Moses and then Elijah. And this is what we learn in the Old Covenant. In the New Covenant, though, it is about the restoration of creation. And God fixes the spirit first and then the body. So first John the Baptist came, the one for Elijah, and then Paul the Apostle, the one for the body. And we've seen that what was given through Paul the Apostle was instructions for the body of Christ. Right? First the spirit and then the body. And this is exactly how our salvation works, right? We discussed, you know, how first we are reconciled to God by our spirits, and our hope is the resurrection of the dead, our bodies. We've seen that Christianity worked in the same way. That first Jesus came to fix us according to the Spirit, and His second coming is to fix us according to the body. That the two great witnesses come in this order. We discovered that last they come together. Because it's the picture of body and spirit coming together as one, the resurrection. This is as they herald Jesus' second coming and the redemption of the church, you can see where they're coming together. You can see how they become one. So for the first time, the two great witnesses will come together, and it will be two men who have these anointings. We discussed how Paul the Apostle was the one for the law, how both John the Baptist and Paul the Apostle were bookends to Jesus' ministry. They were bookends to Jesus' ministry. John's ended when Jesus came on the scene, and Paul's didn't begin until after Jesus died and rose again. And between these two, we see the full ministry of Jesus encapsulated between these two great witnesses. All right, is everybody with me so far? Now, this is what basically we talked about today. The day before yesterday, we talked about how these two witnesses from Haggai and Zechariah and Revelations 11, how these two great witnesses, part of their job will be the building and the laying of the foundation of the last day's church. Right? It's on tape, so don't worry about it, Wynn. So we covered quite a lot of ground, and there's some things here I'm not going to cover obviously in review, but you'll see them on the two recordings that we have that are up there already. Now tonight, what we're going to talk about is the nature of these two anointings. All right, we're going to start out with some very basic things. Now, I don't mean to be tedious, but it's going to be important for you to understand this. Now, let's talk about anointings. You're going to learn that anointings are primarily spirits. The Holy Spirit is spoken of as an anointing, right? The first verse we want to put up here, so that you can see that the Holy Spirit is spoken of as an anointing, let's understand that first. All right, in 1 John 2:27, and let me go there. This is what we're told. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as his hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Can everybody see that? Now that is speaking of the Holy Spirit, is it not? True or not true? So when we speak of an anointing, whether we speak of the anointing or an anointing, we're speaking of a spirit, aren't we? The Holy Spirit is the anointing we receive, but we have lots of anointings that are under the Holy Spirit's guidance. All right, a second thing that we need to understand is something about angels. Angels are primarily spirits, aren't they? Right? Angels are primarily spirits. When we talk about and of the angels, this is Hebrews chapter 1. And of the angels he saith, who makes his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. Alright? His angels and his ministers. His angels are spirits, aren't they? Now, do you understand that as the Holy Spirit, who is a living, breathing entity, who is God by nature, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, right? But he is a person. He serves in you as an anointing and as a seal, right? A seal of God's promise. But yet he is the very Spirit of God. That's the anointing, the Holy Spirit. But angels can also serve as anointings. Do you understand that? Angels can serve as anointings. Alright, so we're going to make this case. Now, let's talk for a minute from what we know about the devil and demons. Now, doesn't the devil imitate the anointings that Christians have? The devil and his group of angels, fallen angels and demons, they imitate the anointings that we have as Christians, don't they? How do they do this? When the woman followed Paul, remember that woman that followed Paul and kept testifying to people to listen from the book of Acts? She had a familiar spirit, but she spoke as if she prophesied, right? And it says that her masters made great money by, you know, the things that she did. Can you see that that spirit was in their serving as an anointing? Right? But it wasn't an anointing of God. That familiar spirit was serving, right? Can you see that? Now, can people have these demons and have these spirits and be under their influence without knowing it? Yes, they can. Many people who think of themselves as psychics have these demons, don't they? Now, when we talk about being given a spirit, all right, remember when Daniel was prophesying and Nebuchadnezzar says, I can see that you have the spirit of the holy gods in you. Right? And that's the way that they thought of it. They always related these things to you having a spirit. Right? If you had special knowledge or if you spoke in tongues or something like that, they recognized as you having a spirit. What we are going to learn and what we need to understand is that the gifts of the Spirit are in fact angels. You're given an angel as a gift of the Spirit to work under the administration of the Holy Spirit. It's all seen as one thing, but that's what's going on. We know that demons and fallen angels have worked as these influences, you know, under Satan in people, and it's an imitation of what it is that we have. Right? Well, I want you to see this verse here of how these things work for a moment. At one time, we see this recorded in the scripture. I want to read in 1 Kings 22. Okay? 1 Kings 22. And I want y'all to follow along. I want you to see how something works. Now, we have to lay these foundations so you can understand how it works. So you know I'm not just pulling this stuff out of the air. Okay? So bear with me. 1 Kings 22. And I'm going to start in about... Now listen to this. Yeah, we'll talk about that another time. Let's not get off the subject we're on, Wynn. All right, there's some details to that I don't really have time to go into right now. But we'll talk about that another time. Let's talk specifically about this. All right, in verse 20 of 1 Kings 22, the Lord said, and the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. Now he's talking to angels. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also, go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning me. Now notice how that worked. Now these prophets appeared to be prophesying, right, by the gift of prophecy, right? But what did they really have? What did they really have? This spirit said... Now, it doesn't tell us whether this was a good spirit or a bad spirit, only that he would go and be a lying spirit on the Lord's behalf. Yeah, a lying spirit. Now, can you understand that this is the basis that spirits, angels, can serve as anointings? Can y'all see this? All right, now let's go back. Let's go back here to Genesis. And let's talk specifically about the two anointings of the law and the prophets. Now remember, in Zechariah chapter 4, when we talk about the two great witnesses who stand before the Lord of the whole earth, these two olive trees, he said, then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now notice that they were standing by the Lord of the whole earth way back here in this time of Zechariah. This isn't Moses and Elijah. These are two angels. The two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth are two cherubim. Get it? They stand by the Lord in His presence. They are called the law and the prophets, but they are two cherubim. Now remember here in Zechariah, they're called two olive trees. All right? He said unto them, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered him again, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty golden oil out of themselves? Now this is about wisdom, isn't it? This oil that they empty out. Olive trees, olive oil. Right! Exactly. Anointings. You see it? The reason they're called two olive trees and two olive branches is because they are anointings. The oil. Can you see that? They are anointings. They are the two anointed ones who stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Now, they appeared at different times in different ways. I want to show you now I'm going to show you now a verse here. Let me see, where was I? Go away, moth. There's a moth flying here. All right, they serve as anointings. Back here in the temple, when they made the house of oracle, all right, in the temple, when they made the house of oracle, now the house of oracle, let me see. I'm sorry. The house of oracle was meant to hold the Ark of the Covenant. How many of y'all know that? The house of oracle was meant to hold the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah. The house of oracle had two angels on it, two cherubim, just like on the Ark of the Covenant itself. It had two angels on the lid, right, where their wings were spread out. On the house of oracle that contained the Ark of the Covenant in the temple, they had the house of, you know, these two angels. And now notice what these two angels were made of. Within the oracle, he made two cherubim of olive tree, each 10 cubits high. They were made of olive tree and covered with beaten gold. Can you begin to see a comparison here? The two cherubim that are on the mercy seat, the two cherubim that are on the house of oracle that hold the Ark of the Covenant, have these two angels represented on them. Can you begin to see it? These two anointings are the law and the prophets. In between them is the mercy seat, where Jesus would sit. Get it? In between them is Jesus. Now remember the Mount of Transfiguration. Who is it that appeared to either side of Jesus? Moses and Elijah. And they were there to represent the law and the prophets, right? On the Mount of Transfiguration, you see Jesus in the middle, right? And Moses and Elijah to either side. They're meant to picture the law and the prophets. How many of you can see this? Remember in Genesis 18, when Jesus appeared to Abraham on the plains of Mamre. All right? When the Lord appeared to him, it says this. The Lord appeared unto him on the plains of Mamre, and Abraham sat in the tent in the door of the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes, and he saw three men. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, and he said, "My Lord, if I found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water be fetched." Now, these three men, and he's talking to one, isn't he? "I pray you be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves, Lord, under the tree. And I'll fetch a morsel of bread and comfort you in your hearts." Right, and so forth. And they said unto him, verse 9, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, one of the three men, the Lord said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. To Sarah thy wife shall have a son." Now, I don't want to read this whole thing. You know, Sarah laughed at having a son, and the Lord told her, "You did laugh." Right? She's been in the presence of these three men, right? Sarah denied, saying, "I laughed not, for she was afraid." And he said, "Nay, thou didst laugh." And then the men arose from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" anyway, we know what happened from there. One of them stayed behind, right? The Lord stayed behind and talked with Abraham. But the two went to Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't they? The two angels. And it tells us specifically that they were angels. It was Jesus who stayed back. And they were there in three to represent God, weren't they? That's what we call a theophany. They were there to represent that God is one. Right? And this is what the two anointed ones do. They testify unto God. Specifically by testifying unto Christ. And wherever Jesus goes, these two go. Hear me. Wherever Jesus goes, these two go. Now Jesus stayed behind and talked with Abraham. And he sent these two to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're the ones who brought out Lot and his family. Now, notice that this is why they are pictured, the two anointed ones who stand before the Lord. The Abraham, Dodie. Notice that this is why these two angels appear on the mercy seat. Now, let's see some proof of this, okay? Now, in between, if it's true that these anointings are angels, I want you to notice something. I want you to notice something with Paul and John. John the Baptist and Paul the Apostle. In between the time that John died and the time before Paul was called to begin his ministry, where were these two anointings? In between the time that John the Baptist died and Paul the Apostle had yet to be called, where were these two anointings? It tells us they were there in their true form to testify unto Christ. Now let's look at this. I want to start it here in John chapter 20. When Mary looked into the tomb, what did she see? John chapter 20. Just a second. Alright, she saw two angels, and Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white. Now listen to this, two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the foot, where the body of Jesus had lain. Do you see the two cherubims on the mercy seat here? Where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the foot. Just like the Ark of the Covenant. And this testifies something. This testifies to something, doesn't it? Sitting at the head and the foot. The foot for the law, the foundation, and the head for the prophets. You see that? And in between, in the same way that John and Paul were at the head and the foot of Jesus' ministry, huh? Right? The same position on the mercy seat. The same position to where Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. Well, that's getting a little bit out of the subject. We're going to talk about that one day, Rocky. But not today. But not today. But this is real important. Do you see the head and the foot representing the law and the prophets? The head is in the sky, the feet are on the ground. And in between is where Jesus' body would lay. Well, isn't Jesus' life as a man in between these two angels? In between John the Baptist and Paul the Apostle, remember, they were bookends to his life and ministry, weren't they? In the same way that these angels on the mercy seat are bookends, in the same way Moses and Elijah are bookends on the Mount of Transfiguration, in the same way that these two angels in the tomb are bookends to where Jesus' body lay. You began to see this? How many of you see it? So you know what these two anointings are now, don't you? They're cherubim. And they're given to men as anointings. And when they're not serving in men as anointings, they appeared as they are, as these two angels, these two men in shining clothes. As they did at Jesus's when he was taken up. These are the two angels who said, "Why do you look up there?" Remember, they always follow Jesus. They always have. "Why are you looking up there, men of Galilee? Don't you know he's going to come back in the same way he left? Woman, why do you look for the living among the dead?" Gives you goose pimples, doesn't it? And there are two men that are coming with these two anointings. Praise God. Now, I want to say one last thing. Jesus, in his body of a man, we see him as a prophecy what will happen to his body, the church. Right? Jesus, in his body as a man, we see him for what will happen in his body, the church. Right? Jesus is a prophecy for what will happen to his body. What happened to him in the body of a man will happen to the church. How many of you can see that? And as these two anointed ones encapsulated the ministry of Christ in the body of a man, these two angels also encapsulate the body of the church. Now I want you to see this picture. Remember James and John, two of the 12? Remember James and John? Now, when they went up onto the mountain of transfiguration, it was just Peter, James, and John. Of all the disciples, those are the only three that Jesus took. Remember James and John always wanted to call fire down? This is why they were called the sons of thunder. They wanted to do like Elijah did, didn't they? They wanted to call fire down on heaven on from heaven on people, didn't they? And so Jesus called them Boneras, the sons of thunder. And when they went up on the mountain with Jesus, they saw Moses and Elijah. But notice something here. For every spiritual person that's there, there's a physical one. On the Mount of Transfiguration, for every spiritual person that's there, there's a physical one. We see Peter as the head of the church is there with Jesus, right? But James and John are there for Moses and Elijah. Right? Now remember something. Remember what James and John's mother asked Jesus? It's the same kind of thing that Elisha, double portion, get it? Asked Elijah. He says, "I ask you for a double portion." Well, it's a hard thing you ask. Remember what James and John's mother asked? "I would that my sons, Jesus, sit to your right and left when you come into your kingdom." Isn't that the same position Moses and Elijah were sitting in the Mount of Transfiguration? And yet these were the two he took. Well, for the body of Christ, let me ask you, don't James and John serve as bookends in the same way that Paul the Apostle and John the Baptist did? James was the first one to be martyred at the beginning of the church, and John was the last one to die of all the apostles. The entire ministry of the church, of the early church, is contained between those two. James, the first one to die, get it? Buried the law. And John, the one that the Lord wanted to stick around until the end. Get it? Eternal life. You see the picture? They were witnesses. The entire of the body of Christ, of the early church, came between James and John. In the same way that Jesus' life was contained between John and Paul. Can y'all see that? That they stand in that figure for the two witnesses. Now, this also shows us something else. That the two witnesses come at the beginning of the church, Jesus' death. And that the two great witnesses will come at the end of the church, eternal life, the resurrection. Because that's what James and John picture. James pictures us in the death of Christ, right? John pictures us in the resurrection of Christ. They are the two bookends for the entire church in that picture. And it pictures the coming of the two great witnesses two different times, doesn't it? Now, that's a good place to stop for now. But let me ask you, could anybody have made this up? Did I read this into it, or is it there? You tell me.